headache is
translating or just English or translation also? What is your at the end you'd rather have? We are once again celebrating Janmashtami. Janmashtami is the day when we worship Krishna on the event of his appearance in this world. Srila Prabhupada explains that the Vasudev platform is the state of consciousness when our heart becomes pure, beyond the dictations of the three modes of material nature. And at that time, Krishna appears within our heart. I'm especially very happy to be here on this occasion. I've been coming to this program at the house of Mahaprabhu and Palika Mataji, Mahaprabhu Prabhu and Palika Mataji, for about 20 years, over 20 years. That's 24 years. This program has been going on steadily. It is a wonderful example for the world how a husband, wife, and children put Krishna in the center of their family and share in charity their faith and devotion to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to wholeheartedly accept Krishna consciousness and to share this great gift with others. The real ideal that brings satisfaction to the heart is devotional service. As we try to accumulate and enjoy, we become more and more entangled with the complexities and perplexities of material bondage. But as we try to extend ourselves according to our capacity to serve God, to help others, we become liberated. That liberation is a result of pleasing Krishna. Throughout the scriptures, the most frequent instruction for grihasthas or family people is to give in charity. A grihastha that does not give in charity is not grihastha, but as Grihamedi, a person whose life is centered around envy and greed. Because everything is the property of God. To try to accumulate, enjoy things for ourselves is a type of envy of God. It is a type of thievery. Brahmacharis, sannyasis, really, they do not have any possessions. and whatever little they are using is for the benefit of society and the service of God. But Grihasthas have home. They may have occupation in order to sustain, facilitate, and maintain a family. When we put Krishna in our home becomes his temple. The tendency in this world is janasya moho yamaham ameti, to think in terms of I and mine. I am this body, and whatever designations are connected to this body, and whatever is in relationship to this body is mine. My family, my wealth, my intelligence, my home, my property. These misconceptions obscure the ability to perceive our eternal nature and our relationship with God. Therefore, how to counteract this? To be charitable. Srila Prabhupada would often say, actually, I was just reasoning. Prabhupada was in Russia during the time of communism. And he was speaking to this Professor Katowski. And he was, Professor Katowski explained that there's a great interest in the Soviet Union in Hinduism. And Prabhupada said, actually, in the Vedas, the word is Varnashram Dharma or Sanatan Dharma. And then Srila Prabhupada explained, we have to understand the proper behavior of how, according to our particular position in spiritual and social society, we act in such a way that we become elevated instead of degraded. And then Prabhupada explained that a grihastha is one who, before he eats with his family, he first goes outside the door and calls, if anybody is hungry, please come, I have food for you. And then he feeds them. And then himself. Now, of course, if you did that in Bombay, you may fast for a long time. But it's that spirit of that what is mine is meant for the welfare of others. What is God has put it in my care is meant to serve God's children. Not simply to accumulate more and more and more and more for my own selfish interests. So charity is important. Bhagavad Gita categorizes charity in the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness. The mode of ignorance, you give the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time, in the wrong mentality. Mode of passion is when we give in charity, but it is with a very fruitive materialistic desire in return. Mode of goodness is to give the right thing to the right person at the right time in the right way. But Bhagavad Gita teaches us triguna vishaya veda nistragunya bhavarjuna, that the purpose of human life is to transcend the modes of material nature. So the ultimate charity is to give that which is everlasting, to give Krishna, to give Krishna's prasad, to give people spiritual enlightenment. That is the ultimate charity. That is charity to the soul. For the last 24 years, this very special family, every Friday night, is giving such abundant charity. They're actually calling anybody, please come. Understand the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. What is the soul? Its relationship with the body. The soul's relationship with God. The soul's relationship with other souls. Unless we understand these basic principles, then all of our life is built on a foundation of ignorance. There must be knowledge. Sri Bhagavad Gita declares in such simple, scientific, logical terminology, everything there is to be known to achieve the perfection of life. After describing that the soul is eternal, it is part and parcel of Krishna. It is not slain when the body is slain. That we are all meant to be reconnected in our relationship with God through devotion, by always remembering Krishna, by making every one of our activities and pursuits in life an offering to Krishna. And to offer to Krishna is so simple. It only requires sincerity. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Prabhupada continuously quoted this sloka. It is so important that if one even offers me a fruit, a flower, a little water, or a leaf, if it is offered in a spirit of sincere devotion, I will accept it. When Krishna accepts our offering, that is the perfection of our endeavor. Samsadir haritoshanam. Whatever our occupation, whatever our pursuits may be in life, when Krishna is pleased to accept it, we have achieved the perfection of our endeavor. If Krishna is not pleased to accept it, materially we may gain profit, but spiritually we have miserably failed. In fact, we have wasted such precious time within our human life. Time is so precious. In previous yugas, except for extraordinary circumstances, people lived according to the quota of years that they were supposed to live in their life. There wasn't such worrying about premature death because it was a pious society. In Satya Yuga, practically everyone lived 100,000 years. It was expected, unless Hiranyakashipu or one of those asuras were causing trouble. In Treta Yuga, 10,000 years. In Dwapar Yuga, 1,000 years. But in Kali Yuga, padam padam yadvi padam natesham is very, very prevalent. There really is danger at every step. We do not know what the next moment will bring. There's terrorism. There's all kinds of mysterious diseases. Diseases spread by other people, diseases spread by contaminations in the environment, diseases by mosquitoes, insects, or diseases that are heretical, or that are just mysteriously somehow or other developing within our system. So many dangers. Driving in an automobile, there's a good chance that you won't make it to the place you're driving alive. Hundreds and thousands of people around the world every year just die just on an ordinary drive from one place to another, or in an airplane or on a train. Or in India, so many times trains derail. What happens if it derails right here? Haribol. There are dangers at every step. Therefore, whatever time we have should never be taken for granted. It should be taken very, very seriously. The nature of a conditioned soul is we worry about things that are not worth worrying about. And we don't worry about things that are very serious. Losing time in this human life, gambling our morality, our ethics, and our spiritual principles, that's serious. We should worry about that. We should worry about our spiritual salvation and our connection to God. But today we're worrying about so many of the peripheral matters that seem to be so important, but have little or nothing to do with our soul. But Krishna is so kind that he will give himself to us if we simply make that step of offering whatever we have in devotion to him. Yat karoshi yat ashnashi yat juhoshi tatasi. Whatever we do should be for Krishna's satisfaction. Vasudeva and Devaki, they were grihasthas. How charitable they were. In the service of God, for the welfare of humanity, they kept having children, even though each child was being murdered by Kamsa. Why? Why would you hunt to have a child if you knew that right after birth it was going to be slaughtered mercilessly right in front of your eyes? Because they knew that the eighth child, the Lord was going to appear within there, and they wanted to facilitate the Lord coming. One of the great ancestors of Devaki and Vasudev was King Yayati. Yes? King Yayati, he made some mistakes in his life due to uncontrolled senses. So he was cursed to get old age because he had an unpopular relationship with another woman. So he was cursed by Shukracharya to lose his youth and become impotent. So although he was a young man, he became old and invalid. Now he still wanted to enjoy. That's a problem when you're old and you still want to enjoy. But that is a problem every one of us have to face eventually, if we make it that far in our life. I've never met, besides some Paramhamsa Vaishnavas, I've never met an old person who didn't still have all those desires to enjoy youthful pleasures. It's just that you can't do it. The desire is there, but there's no facility to fulfill it. It's not that desires go away when you grow old. Haribol Mataji, thank you for coming. So King Yayati wanted to trade his old age for the youth of one of his children. So some of the children he asked, they refused because they just didn't love their father that much that they were willing to become old men in their youth while he could enjoy. But then he asked his son Yadu. And his Yadu was actually, he was willing to do it, but he said no because he knew that Krishna was going to be born as one of his ancestors. So he had to stay young and have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren first, so that ultimately Krishna would be in his dynasty. So Yadu is considered perfect because he refused for the higher purpose of serving God and thus doing the greatest welfare work for humanity. And Devaki and Vasudev, they kept having their children for our sake, so that Krishna would come and deliver us from all sufferings forever. That is charity. And real charity should be a tapasya. It should be an austerity. It should be blissful for the heart, but there should be a little pain. We should actually be making sacrifices for the welfare of others in God's service. Human life is meant for that type of tapasya. When we have this ideal, and we make our offering with sincerity, in a spirit to please God, that really is what devotion means. To speak, to act, to think, to live for the pleasure of the Lord, that is devotion. Devotion is not simply an action. Devotion is the purpose in which we perform our action. Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered to him. It's not the thing, it's the intent, the purpose in which it is offered. Krishna is bhava-grahi. Bhava-grahi means he appreciates the feeling, the sentiment of his devotee. We can make a show for the world, but it's all hollow, superficial, and empty, and really meaningless, unless Krishna is satisfied. So really, bhakti is about purifying our purpose in life, purifying the intention within our heart which motivates us to speak and to act. Bhishma Dev, he was shooting arrows at Krishna, and Krishna was bleeding. Just to reciprocate with Bhishma, he was bleeding. You can't make Krishna bleed. But Bhishma was a Kshatriya. He defeated Arjuna in the battle. He was about to kill Arjuna. At that time, Krishna picked up a wheel of a chariot and attacked Bhishma with eyes red like fire to punish him, to protect his devotee. And Arjuna, he didn't mind dying, but Krishna was going to break his own promise just to protect him. This was unimaginable to Arjuna. He grabbed onto Krishna, begging him, "Stop, stop, don't hurt him." And meanwhile, Bhishma, seeing Krishna coming to attack him, was in ecstasy. Because Bhishma knew Krishna's desire. Krishna wanted to show the world that he is willing to break his own promise to protect the promise of his devotee. Krishna promised, "I will not fight on this battlefield. I will not lift a weapon." But he told Arjuna, "You declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish." That is Krishna's love for his devotee. So Bhishma understood Krishna's purpose. And to glorify Krishna, which was ultimately to please Krishna, he caused Krishna to act in this way. And he was shooting him. But because he was shooting with pure, unalloyed love and devotion, although those arrows, the arrows of Bhishma, that were tearing apart the warriors on the battlefield, that was causing him suffering and death, those same arrows, because they were being offered to Krishna with love and devotion, Krishna felt the arrows in his body, very soft, very pleasing, just as a person offers flowers to Krishna. It's very pleasing, soft flowers. That is how Krishna experienced the arrows of Bhishma. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, sometimes in love affair, the lover bites the beloved. I don't know much about this subject matter. Maybe some of you do. But if somebody were to bite you that is not very intimate, you'd be very angry. You would hurt. But if your little baby bites you, or if your lover bites you, oh, it feels so nice. Because we really reciprocate with the intent, and that is how Krishna accepts our offerings, according to the intent. So even a little fruit, leaf, flower, or water, or whatever, if it is offered with the intention to please Krishna, Krishna is satisfied. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he proclaimed himself to be a gardener. He said, I have so many fruits, the fruits of love of God. I want to distribute them. I want the whole world to taste these sweet fruits of prema bhakti. But how many fruits can I distribute alone? Actually, the Lord could distribute unlimited fruits at every moment. He has that capacity. But then there would be no service for the devotees if Krishna did everything himself. Just as Krishna showed in the Virat Rupa 11th chapter that he annihilates the Kurus. But he didn't do it himself. He wanted Arjuna and Yudhisthira Maharaj and Bhima to get the credit. That is his love for his devotee. He wants to always glorify the process of devotion and the devotee. Bhakti, Bhakta, Bhagavan. These three subjects are most essential. What is the qualities, the nature of a devotee? What is the science of devotional service? And who is the object of our devotion? Who is the object of our worship? Bhagavan. Krishna can do anything, but Krishna's hungry for love. Although he is Atmarama, he is always thirsty for the love of each and every one of his parts and parcels, which is each and every one of us. And he is examining our intent. Lord Chaitanya, he requested all of his followers for all time to come, if you want to please me, if you want to serve me, help me distribute these fruits of prema bhakti. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, the one who repeats this message to my devotees is most dear to me. And there will never be anyone more dear to me than him. That is to preach. That is charity. As a brahmachari, we give our whole life in charity. in the service of our guru, by helping our guru to help others become a lover of God. A sannyasi means a whole life of charity, where nothing is yours except your service to the world by enlightening them in bhakti. And a grihastha, the foundational principle of grihastha that differentiates them from grihamedi, is charity. But just as in this material world, if you want to help and give charity to someone, you have to have the facilities to do so. If people are hungry, if you really have an intent to help them, then you'll somehow or other make money, prepare food, and feed them. Today, so much charity is egoistic and superficial. Some years ago, there was a very, very big drought in Ethiopia. And I met a man. He was a famous man in America. This man was actually the number one comedian in America. Very popular on television, nightclubs, Las Vegas, thousands of people coming to hear him tell jokes, and they laugh and laugh and paid. He became a millionaire just telling jokes and making people laugh. But then he looked around in the world and he just didn't think things were so funny. So he became a social reformist. He wanted to fight for the rights of people who were being persecuted and deprived. He wanted to fight against people who were exploiting and plundering others. And he used his name and his fame to promote social activities, to do away with hypocrisy. In fact, when I was a college student at my college, he spoke and I listened to him. And then I met him years later. I brought him to one of our temples. And he was telling me that he's in network with all kinds of social organizations against hypocrisy and political intrigue and all of these things. And he told me in Ethiopia, tens and millions of dollars worth of food were sent there, mostly by companies and corporations. He said, but those people who send the food, they don't care anything for the people. They just want to have their name. It's profitable. People will come to do business with you if they see that you're charitable. So their names are in the paper. They gave so many millions of dollars of grains to the starving people of Ethiopia. And also they get tax, income tax exemptions for giving for such a good cause. So they make money, they get fame, and they make money because that fame causes other people to do business with them. But this man told me that all the food that was sent there was still sitting in boxes at the port. Nobody donated even a single penny to transport the food to the starving people. There was nobody at the port who were starving. These people were living in the deserts, inland. They were still starving. And tens and millions of dollars of American and European food were just sitting there. But nobody gave anything to get the food to the people. Did they really care about the people? If they did, they would make sure their food fed them and saved them. So what kind of charity is that? Real charity is to make a difference in people's lives. Srila Prabhupada explained that the greatest need in a world is for Krishna consciousness, because people are starving spiritually. In Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada gives example of the bird in the cage. The lady is giving very nice service to the cage, but the bird inside is starving to death. She does not understand the needs. You can put petrol in an automobile, and that's good. But the driver needs food, and that's different than petrol. Similarly, to help people's bodies, to help people mentally, is very important in this world. Prabhupada said you can't really preach to a person if they have nothing in their stomach, because they can't listen. They're just thinking about their stomachs. It's difficult to preach to someone whose mind is deranged with anxieties. So yes, help the body. Encourage and give some stability to the mind. But then the real charity of actually getting through the needs of the soul, teaching a person how they can be free from birth, old age, disease, and death, enlightening a person to find everlasting fulfillment and ecstatic love in Krishna. That is the greatest need of the world today. And without understanding Krishna and our relationship with Krishna, then even when we try to develop our lives, we do it all wrong and karmically implicate ourselves in suffering. The Shreyas and Prayas. Prayas means to do things that give us immediate happiness. But Krishna tells in Gita, what tastes like nectar at the beginning tastes like poison in the end. And Shreyas means it may not taste so nice now, but it's the right thing to do. It may taste like nectar at the end to give something away. It may taste like nectar at the end poison. It may taste like poison at the beginning. To spend time sitting, chanting the names of God, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, coming to a program, listening to Radhanath Swami talk, may taste like poison at the end. At the beginning. I guess Krishna's speaking through me. Might taste like poison at the end. When we engage in devotional service, which is a tapasya, it may not taste good now, but it's nectar in the end. To serve the needs of the soul. This is all important. And this is what Grihastha life is about. Helping Lord Chaitanya distribute the fruits of love of God. But you have to have fruits to distribute. If you're not attached to the chanting of the holy name, how much can you really affect other people to understand the glories of the holy name? It was a striking experience for me in 1972 in New York City. I was at a lecture of Srila Prabhupada at Radha Govinda Mandir. And Srila Prabhupada was emphasizing that I want you to distribute my books, but you must read the books. He was really emphasizing how important it is to read the books. He said, if you go and distribute the book to someone, and someone asks you, what is it about? Tell me about it. Are you going to say, I don't know, I only sell them. I don't read them, I only sell them. Then how will you convince a person the importance of the book unless you understand the importance of the book? Unless we understand the importance of spiritual lives, how will we convince another? So we must become attached to the chanting of the holy name. We must become attached to hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the great scriptures. We must become attached to worshiping the deities. We must become attached to serving the sadhus. That is what Grihastha life is about. developing those attachments with Krishna in the center. And then from that basis, we want to reach out and give that same attraction to Krishna to other people. Then our life is simply wonderful. It's spiritually satisfying. It's meaningful. And everything we do has eternal value. So we are especially very grateful to Mahaprabhu Prabhu, Palika Mataji, Giri Govardhan Prabhu. For 24 years, they've been trying to give in charity the greatest of all wealth. Their desire to assist Srila Prabhupada and his devotees in giving love of Krishna to others. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the nice story of the fruit vendor lady who came to Vrindavan, calling out for people to come to buy her fruits. And Gopal Krishna, he came running out with some grains in his hands to trade them for fruits. But his hands were so small that the grains were falling out from between his fingers. And when he came there, there was only a grain or two left. And he offered, "Please give me fruits." Gopal's hands. This is when he was a couple years old. When he was just a couple days old, Putana came to Vrindavan in the guise of a beautiful woman. She was so powerful. You can't imagine how powerful she was. She could probably single-handedly defeat the entire Indian army. This is Putana. Krishna was sucking her breast, and he was sucking, after sucking the poison and sucking the milk, he started sucking her life force out. She grew into a form 12 miles big. Can you imagine the size? 12 miles? How far is it from here to Radha Gopinath Temple? 17 kilometers. So it's just 17 kilometers is 11 miles. So she was more than that. It took us an hour and a half to get here. If you had a car, it would take a long time just to drive. She was huge. And she was powerful. And with all of her power, she was trying to rip Krishna off her breast. And with his little hands, he was just holding on. Little tiny baby hands, he was just squeezing them. And it was causing her mortal pain. She was terrified. She was screaming in agony because he was squeezing. And she couldn't get him off. So that's the power of Krishna's hands when he's a few days old. So how is it that he can't hold a few grains in his hand? His hands have matured several years since that time. It is his Leela. When he wants, he's the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or when he wants to reciprocate with his devotee, he's like the most helpless, innocent, beautiful little child. Now the question is, do you want Krishna to appear to you like he did to Putana, as death personified, or like the fruit vendor? Krishna reciprocates according to how we approach him. If we approach him with love, he appears as the most beautiful, innocent, loving, supreme personality of Godhead. But if we try to exploit his energies without proper faith and devotion, then he appears ultimately as death personified. the child Gopal presented the little grain. And the fruit vendor, seeing his charming smile, his beautiful, all attractive qualities, feeling the glance of his love, it melted her heart. Krishna was looking right in her eyes. That glance of unlimited, infinite love just transformed her. He's so beautiful. She didn't see him as God. She just loved him as a little boy and wanted to make him happy. What happened? Mouse. It's danger at every step. See how material nature works. A mouse is this big, and we're this big. And still, huh? He was that big. That's not mouse, that's rat. The mice are this big. Rat. Still, pound for pound, how does a rat compare to us? But yet we're afraid. That's natural. It's natural. Material nature. We don't know what will happen at the next moment. One time I was giving a lecture and a cobra fell. Pretty well. We don't know what's going to happen, especially in India. In other parts of the world, at least we think we know what's going to happen, but in India, people know that they don't know what's going to happen. Krishna gave this fruit vendor his smiling glance. And the fruit vendor, in reciprocation, filled his arms, his little arms, with as many fruits as he could possibly carry. And he smiled, very happy. She surrendered. She surrendered to him. Patram pushpam palam toyam. She surrendered her fruit. So he ran home carrying the fruits. And she looked back into her basket. And it was filled with the most precious jewels. What is that jewel? The jewel of spiritual love. The jewel of spiritual satisfaction. Because love is the only thing that can satisfy the heart. Everything else is an unsatisfying replacement. The heart longs to love. And that love is there. It is dormant. It is awakened by the sweet will of Krishna when he is pleased with our intention in life, with our devotion. So that fruit vendor attained the ultimate perfection of life, because she gave in charity for the pleasure of Krishna. This knowledge is the greatest need in the world today. And that is why we are celebrating Janmashtami today. We are praying, we are longing for Krishna to appear within our hearts. We are praying and longing that our lives can be offerings of dedication to the sweet will of the Lord. Here at this wonderful temple, for 24 years, this charity of Krishna Bhakti has been distributed in charity. by a family, and over the years, other families, Sahadev Prabhu's family, Sachidananda Prabhu's family, Brishabhanu Prabhu's family, Rohini Nandan Prabhu's family, and others as well, they have really dedicated themselves, taken responsibility to help, to give the charity of bhakti to the world, to inspire the devotees and invite more and more and more people to come to taste the sweet fruit of Krishna. So we are very grateful. It is a very auspicious occasion. And I'm especially very grateful to Mahaprabhu Prabhu, who has tremendous determination. Because it's not easy to do anything good with consistency in this age of Kali Yuga. Impediments, obstacles, disappointments, discouragements inevitably must come. It's not that maybe they will come. They will come. Because it's the nature of the world we live in. But those impediments are great benedictions. Because at such times, we have an opportunity to show our attachment to doing the right thing without enjoying the fruits. Our Param Guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would send his devotees to preach. One time devotee came, they rented a big hall, and only a few people came. He was very disappointed. It was a hall for many hundreds, and a few came. His head was downcast. Guru Maharaj, who was a failure, only a few people came. Oh, a few people? How many? Three people? Very good. If no one comes, then you should be enthusiastic to preach to the four walls with enthusiasm. We're doing it for Krishna's pleasure. If Krishna's pleased, he can send so many souls. But he wants to test, are we doing it for him? Bhagavad Gita teaches not to be attached to the fruits of our action. We're attached to pleasing Krishna. It pleases Krishna when we sincerely try to cultivate devotion in our own heart and share it with others. In New York City, there was a program. The first time the devotees rented a place. Previously, they were in Tompkins Square Park or Washington Square Park, sitting under a tree, and Prabhupada played little bongo drum. And some people were coming around and standing in circle and listening for a few minutes and then going away. And they had a little storefront in 26 Second Avenue, which at the most 50, 60 people could crowd in. So they rented a hall and they advertised a free program. And only a few people came. It had hundreds of seats. And devotees were so disappointed, so disappointed. But Prabhupada sat there and he preached as if there was 10,000 people there. He led the kirtan, he gave the lecture. Devotees were astounded. They thought he would be disappointed and upset. He was enlivened. The devotees afterwards said, Prabhupada, we're very sorry. We didn't manage this program properly. No one came. Prabhupada said, no one? You didn't see? You didn't see Narada Muni and Lord Brahma? They didn't see. Prabhupada was seeing Krishna and all the acharyas and all the demigods because he's seeing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, don't try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he's pleased to see you. Whatever the results, if we're honestly and earnestly doing the right thing according to Krishna's desire, then Krishna's seeing us, and he's happy. And that's how we should be looking to see Krishna, whether he's happy. So yes, this wonderful program has had high mountain peaks and low valleys, sometimes below sea level even. But throughout, whether encouraged or discouraged, continued on. And we see tonight so many hundreds of wonderful, wonderful devotees gathered together to honor the deities Radha Vrindavan Natavara for their Janmashtami. Janmashtami is such a wonderful celebration. There was no one so charitable as Srila Prabhupada. He left everything to give this charity to the world. And by his pure purpose, Krishna empowered him in such a way that through his influence, 2 days ago, in thousands of places throughout the world, all over every continent of the world, in Africa, in Australia, all over America, Europe, tens and thousands of people in Russia, even in Pakistan, people are celebrating Janmashtami with the proper understanding of who is Krishna and what is the goal of life. Premadana, the charity of love. And if we can just assist him in whatever small way, according to our capacity, that is our immense fortune. Thank you very much. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he taught us the simple method by which love of Krishna is awakened from the heart. Harinam Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. It is the prime benediction for all humanity. Our beloved Acharyas teach us that every occasion we celebrate by chanting the holy names. Krishna is none different than his names, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, his abode. They are all descending in the name. Golokera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. The holy name descends from Goloka Vrindavan. It's so accessible, it's so simple. But we must learn from the spiritual masters the proper intention, the proper purpose, and the proper lifestyle that facilitates accessing the divine power of the holy name. When we chant under proper guidance with sincerity and humility, the name cleanses the mirror of our heart. Lord Chaitanya performed the cleansing of Gundicha temple to teach, unless the temple is clean, how can we ask Krishna to appear within that temple? Unless our heart is clean, how can we ask Krishna to appear within our heart? This chanting of the holy names is the sublime method of purifying the ecology of the heart, bringing it back to its natural state, in which we could see God within ourselves. Krishna appears within our life. Krishna makes us an instrument of his love in this world. That is what we want to pray for on Janmashtami. During the Abhishekam, we're offering beautiful substances, pure substances for the pleasure of Krishna, to welcome him, to honor him. As Nanda Maharaj performed the Abhishekam at Nandotsav celebration in Gokul Mahavan, We have the opportunity by Krishna's grace. He accepts the same service that was offered by Nanda Yashoda. He's so kind. But whatever we're doing, whether it's Abhishekam, the real auspiciousness of any event is the chanting of the holy names. It is the most purifying, the most magnanimous gesture of Krishna's mercy as he has appeared within his name. On these wonderful festive events, the great fruit that we have the chance of tasting is when we become more serious to dedicate ourselves to properly chanting Hare Krishna mantra and giving this great benediction, this prime benediction to others. At this time, we will have translation and then we will perform Sankirtan. I thank you, Mahaprabhu, Prabhu, Palika Mataji, Giri Govardhan Prabhu, Shamadasi Mataji, wherever you are. And I thank all of our wonderful guests this evening for attending. The wonderful quality of this program. I was remembering devotees who were small schoolgirls who are now dancing with one or two children and their husbands, of course, on a different side of the area. Remembering new bhaktas and bhaktins who came here dancing and singing in kirtan, who are now counselors with dozens of people being trained in Krishna consciousness. Remembering devotees who had nice black hair, who are now dancing even more enthusiastically with all gray hairs. Remembering some young medical students who are coming to this program, who are now specialist doctors with husbands or with wives, and who are the founders of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Yes, it is true. The founding doctors of Bhaktivedanta Hospital, when they were just young pre-medical students, they were cultivated in their Krishna consciousness here at Radha Vrindavan Natavara's temple. So much glorious devotional service that has transformed many prominent devotees' lives took place in this little garage in Kar. So we would like to thank Mahaprabhu, Prabhu, Palika Mataji, Vrishabhanu Prabhu and Kirtida Mataji, Sahadev Prabhu and Suchitra Mataji, Radha Damodar Prabhu and his good wife. And who else? Raghunath Prabhu, Raspriya Mataji. Yudhisthira Prabhu and Draupadi Priya Mataji. Madhav Prasad Prabhu, yes. Rameshwari Mataji.
We have five counselors here in this place. It's regularly, Deviji, five counselors.
Upendra Prabhu. Sri Rama Prabhu, he was just a little boy. This little blissful boy looked very spaced out. Started coming under the influence of his older brother, Dwarkadish Prabhu. Now he's married, famous all over the world, hundreds of followers, with little daughter Radharani. Dwarkadish Prabhu, Vishwarup Prabhu, Vaishnav Seva Prabhu, Madhavananda Prabhu, Yogesh Chandra Prabhu. Now they're... Huh? Satchidananda Prabhu never changes. Of course, he was just a student when he first started coming. And he started bringing people like Yudhisthira Prabhu and Devamrita Prabhu, Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu. He was preaching to his classmates, bringing them here, and see what kind of Vaishnavas all these people are now. World esteemed preachers with projects, dedicated, honorable doctors with families, exemplary all over the world. This is a holy Tirtha. We should worship the granules of cement underground here. And it all took place in this little garage, in a little parking area. Not a big facility. It shows the power of bhakti. So many incredible, influential devotees were transformed and nourished here in just a little parking area next to a garage. Some of the most beautiful ornate temples in the world do not have such an effect on people's lives. So someday there may be a Purana written about this place. I thank you very much. It's a very special occasion to see all of these wonderful souls coming back together again here and all new devotees also coming to taste the nectar of devotion. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.